Good morning. This morning, our scripture lesson is from Matthew 4, verses 12 to 23. Hear the word of the Lord. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. One of my professors in seminary once asked us, what makes a church great? Is it good sermons? A young preacher? Good music? Strong programs? A thriving youth ministry? Bible studies? Small groups? Outreaches? Is it a large campus? Impressive facilities, or a beautiful sanctuary? What makes a church great? He believed that it was none of these things. He said, what makes a church great is people. Because the church is not its buildings, its programs, or even its ministries. It is a gathering of people, a community of believers. So he warned us not to confuse great programs, big buildings, or large attendance with a great church. Instead, he urged us to minister to people, to help equip them to be disciples of Jesus Christ, to invite them, walk with them, and lead them to Christ. After all, Jesus' great commission is not to build institutions, but to make disciples. And when a church is truly healthy, it will naturally make disciples. In our text this morning, Jesus begins his ministry proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." In the midst of sharing his good news, he does something important. He invites people to follow him. He gathers them, and throughout the rest of his ministry, he teaches them what it means to be his followers, his disciples. He does this so that they, in turn, might become fishers of people. Theologian N.T. Wright reminds us that these teachings are not about how to escape this world to go to heaven. Rather, they are about God's sovereign rule coming on earth as it is in heaven. The call of Jesus in this passage is not merely about future salvation, but about present action, about participating in God's work here and now by fishing for people. When Jesus proclaimed that the heaven is near and saw all of those sick people, he said, just wait. He didn't say, just wait. You'll get better later. He doesn't do that. What does he do? He heals them on the spot. They didn't have to wait, because it was possible present and now, because he was with us. In a leadership program I am currently part of, one of the pastors shared the same text during a devotional. She spoke about fishing nets and how fishermen regularly took time to clean and mend them. Even in our passage, we see James and his brother John mending their nets when Jesus calls them. This was essential work. A net with tears or broken strands, doesn't matter how wide it's cast, how deep it goes, or which side of the boat it's thrown from, if it is damaged, it won't hold anything. So when Jesus later tells the disciples to cast their nets again, they catch an abundance of fish. It's not only because they obeyed, but because they were ready. Their nets had been cared for. Then she asked us a powerful question. She asked, how are our spiritual nets? Now, when we talk about fishing for people, we don't mean that literally. I just want you to understand that, right? I'm not going to go to Rick and forcefully put him in my net. That's not what we mean. But just as Jesus gathered people in our text, we too are called to invite others to build relationships with them. How did Jesus gather his people in his ministry? Did he ever force anyone to obey? Did he ever use fear? Did he ever threaten somebody? Did he ever force? Someone. Did he ever use violence to make someone follow him? How did Jesus gather his people? How did Jesus teach the disciples how to be fishers of people? What did he teach? How did Jesus reach out to his disciples? In our story this morning, what did he say? He invited them. come, follow me. And the promise wasn't, if you follow me, I'll make you a great person, or I'll give you a great life with no consequences, no punishments, no pain, no suffering. He didn't say, oh, I'll follow me, I'll make you rich. Was that the promise? Or follow me, I'll make you great. Is that what he said? No. He said, follow me, and what? I'll make you fishers of people. That's what it said. From the beginning, even to the end of Great Commission. What is the Great Commission? Does anyone know what Jesus commanded, gave us commission to do? Go to all nations and what? Make disciples. Make disciples of Jesus Christ. How did Jesus make his disciples? What did he teach? What did he show? I think sometimes we forget the big picture. I think oftentimes people correlate success with God. But when we committed ourselves to follow Jesus, we committed not so that we can be great, but that we can learn and become how to be fishers of people. Thank you, Rick. I'm sorry. He didn't know because I didn't have a net at the time. But then God provided. So. And here's the thing about the mark of a disciple. Jesus said that people will know me, that people will know we are his disciples by our love. So where are the tears in our nets that needs mending so that we can love? Is it lack of patience with others? And we need to work on a struggle with forgiveness, maybe a weakness in love or courage, or there are broken relationships or unhealed wounds that make it harder for us to invite, welcome, and walk with others as disciples of Jesus Christ. Again, he didn't say, follow me and I'll make you great. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of people. And to teach them how to do that, Jesus taught many things. Things we will hear more about next week in the Beatitudes. But at the heart of it all was this: love God and love your neighbors. So the good news this morning is this. Jesus is still walking along the shoreline. He is still calling ordinary people. He is still inviting us to follow him. Not because we are perfect, and not because our nets are flawless, but because he is willing to shape us, mend us, and send us out in love. A great church is not measured by numbers or programs, but by people being formed into disciples, people learning to love God deeply and love their neighbors faithfully. As we follow Jesus, may we allow him to repair what is torn within us, strengthen what is weak, and renew our hearts. May we allow him to do so, so that when we cast our nets, they're ready to hold those whom God is already drawing near. And as we live in this way, may the kingdom of heaven be felt more fully here on earth than ever before. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.